2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Final day for Scott and I to for sure be able to run a lap around everybody and say that our brackets are leading the KSL Sports.com.
Smartest people in this room right now.
Scott and I tied for the lead. There's no way that's going to last. Sweet 16 fires up tonight.
Well, nothing in life lasts, including the Jazz winning. You know?
No, man.
I thought it would last.
We said it last night. You start to set everything up and go, look how amazing this team has gone. Look at this, these last two games. Explain to us what's happened on these last two games. Every expert we have come on with us, try to explain what's going on. And then at the end of everything, before we got into pregame last night, I went, watch them lose this game. Watch them lose this game, because if there's something that you're not able to put your finger on this year, it's exactly how game to game this Jazz team is going to perform. And so, take the L last night to a Trailblazers team that had lost six in a row. The Jazz coming off of maybe their two most impressive wins of the season, considering their lineup that they had for those two games. But to help us break it all down, he, of course, does the TV portion. And the Most Dressed Best Award usually goes to him. Between he and Alema, they fight over it every night. From AT&T Sportsnet, he is Mike Smith on the program here with us. Mike, what's up, man?
That's very kind, Alex. And if you knew that I spent probably 15 minutes getting ready, and you knew that Alema spent a day and a half.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know that. We know that. Look, it's a skill. It's a talent to be able to get ready in 15 minutes and look good.
I would take tips from either one of you guys, too, by the way.
Oh, you guys are nice. I'm actually making right now at home this gross turmeric shake. It's not that tasty. I need to go on the soda plan, because whatever I'm doing might be working, but it tastes like garbage.
Hey.
Yeah. Turmeric is not part of the soda diet. Just so if that makes you feel any better.
Actually, I could see them going, "Do you have access to turmeric?" I go, "No." What color is turmeric? That's like a bright orange, isn't it? Like, what's going on with it?
It's almost like a Tennessee orange. It's odd, but it's supposed to be really good for
you. It is good for you.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Yeah. Maybe later tonight. Maybe even sooner.
Hopefully you get through the interview.
Mike, we're really excited about this team. We have been all year, and I've just signed my life over to not caring about whatever. I can't live and die by each outcome of every game. I love how they play. I have requirements for most of these games, which is I want to see Lowry score a lot of points. He's your all-star. I want these games to be close. Initially, I said, and then I want you to lose those close games. Last night, I went, turn it up. I want to see a win. And, of course, as soon as I say that, it doesn't happen. What was the difference last night between what you had seen the previous two games where we were so impressed by this this young Will Hardy group?
It might just have been a little bit of human nature. And Scott knows it well. I know it well. You try and prepare the same way for every opponent and every game, but there's just a natural high to get up for the Boston Celtics. And the same for Sacramento. And you know, Walker Kessler, who'd played very little or had done very little, let's say, against Sacramento, and in the previous meetings where Sabonis had gone for 25, 15, and 8. And then Kessler comes out and dominates the game. And so Scott knows it. I know it. There's just that thing you almost can't coach, you can't teach, or you can't un-coach, right, which is human nature. And I'm sure the Jazz, after those two wins, looked at the standings. They jumped up. They, like I, because I did this too, on Tuesday night I said, wait, Oklahoma City's playing the Clippers in L.A.? They're going down. And if they go down and tomorrow night the Jazz beat Portland and Golden State beats Dallas and Minnesota loses, the Jazz will be seven. Like, I was already making all those moves in my head. And almost not, well, only Golden State beat Dallas. The other things did not happen the way you might have thought. But I don't know. I feel like it's not that they didn't try. It's not that they didn't care. I think it's actually a little bit of that, the human nature factor. When you looked at Portland, they're missing Jeremy Grant, Anfernee Simons, and you say, okay, they're missing 40 points. And they've probably read Lillard's comments in the paper leading up to the game, like, you know, why are we playing these? Right. And when am I going to shut it down? And give Lillard credit. He's had a fantastic, if not entire season, where his career best, 32 points a game, but the last 2 months, 38 points a game, including a 50, a 60, and a 71-point game. He arguably, in my mind, is the most exciting player to watch in basketball. And last night, the Jazz, on the heels of employing this new zone, which worked with great success against Boston and Sacramento and took them out of their normal sets, they tried it for a third game in a row. And I opened the show with a lemma last night, and I said, let me just tell you this. NBA scouts are smart. NBA assistant coaches are smart, and so are head coaches. And the Blazers have now seen the Jazz, their previous two ball games. They know exactly what this zone looks like. They will be prepared. And the three of us could probably collaboratively say they were prepared.
Yeah, they chopped it up.
To move the ball, how to get open shots. And even though they made it tough on Lillard, right, it goes 2 for 10 from deep, ends up with a tough 30, three other guys score 20 or more, and the Jazz can't score enough to beat them.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com. or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the West, the second, you know, the lower half of the playoff race is like the financial markets today. I mean, it is. It's up and down and all over the place. And so you know, you kind of grab the emotion of that, right? As a Jazz fan, you're like, but the thing is it's like if they lose, they win, and if they win, they win. And so it's kind of a unique position to be in. I'm curious, though, about Jordan Clarkson and Colin Sexton, and they've been out for quite some time. And because of that, so many of these other players have really gotten a big opportunity or a bigger opportunity, and they've really taken advantage of it. Do you bring those guys back at this point? I mean, there's 10 games in the season. You know, what's the strategy about these guys, or are they still really hurt and they're still really out? I mean, when do you bring them back, or do you?
I think those are all fair questions, Scott. Like, Jordan's gone from a sprained, you know, finger on the one hand to now a sprained finger on the other hand. And I mean, I don't speak for the team, right? Like, I don't know the inner workings of how hurt they really are, you know, how much they're pushing. But I see Sexton out there warming up before the game, and I'll walk by him and talk to him, and I say, dude, we miss you out there. He goes, I'll be back soon, you know, and that was 2 games ago. And so I think they're being extra cautious with things like that. And Markkanen falling last night and probably spraining, not really injuring, but maybe aggravating a left wrist, it looked like. But he played through it, to his credit. What a stud. So I think those are all fair questions. I think the bigger picture and issue is one that we all agree upon. And you said it, Scott, if they win, they win, and if they lose, they win. And what they did early on, and this entire season, and speaking from the coach on down through the players, is they have sold themselves with great play, great sacrifice, passion, and just fun basketball to this fan base. And so we've all fallen for them. Like, I fell for them early, and I'm like, I love this team. This team's awesome.
Yeah, you had me at hello.
I really don't care. Yeah, like, I really don't care if they win or lose, but they start 10-3, and, you know, they beat Minnesota and New Orleans in overtime in the first week of the season. You're like, what? You know, and now there's even more reasons to fall for them and root for them, like the development of a Markkanen into an all-star and Ochai becoming a legitimate two-guard in the league, or at least the chance to be. Kessler looks like your future center forever. You know, if a guy like Chris Dunn, who you find from nowhere, his fifth chance, right, his fifth team in 7 years with a fresh start, and golly, he's got such a great attitude. He pulled me aside the other day. He goes, Mike, I got so much fight left. No one knows how much fight I got left. And I'm like, dude, just go keep playing. Keep proving all the naysayers wrong and go win yourself a job. And he played great last night. He played great against Sacramento. And so, I don't know. I mean, we knew early on this year was about development. It was about evaluation. It was about, okay, we have picks. Those will be used later. What do we have? And which pieces do we like? And, you know, Talen Horton Tucker's been a surprise. Call him an imperfect player, but how about some perfect imperfection, right? He's just quirky enough that he's different. And the fact that they run him at point guard at 6'4" and 220 and a 7'1" wingspan, he's different enough. I pulled him aside the other day. I said, do you remember a guy for the Bucks named Paul Pressey? He's like, no. I said, oh yeah, my bad. My bad. He played before you were born. And he's like, well, he said, who was he? And I said, he was a 6'7" forward who Don Nelson for the Bucks in the 80s turned into a point forward. And they coined the phrase, and I said, he's built like you. And Talen's like, I never heard of him. And I said, you're more powerful. He was more smooth. I said, but you have similar characteristics. Like, you can get to the hole. You've got an innate ability to pass. You're a good layup maker. He's a good layup maker. He was a, you know, mediocre shooter who became a good shooter. I said, that, I think, is your future. You can become a really good shooter. And his eyes just lit up, right? And I'm just connecting with the players. Nobody's paying me to put thoughts in their head. And he looked at me and goes, I'm going to look up this Pressey guy. I'm going to see what I can be. And I said, you know what? It'd be a great model for you because he played for 14 years and he was awesome.
Mike, one of the things I wondered too, I think when we got into the season, we were all going, well, we know that this young coach has a lot of future in front of him. But, man, when you get a season laid out for you that everybody else says, yeah, but you're supposed to be bad and you're going to be bad and it's going to be a rebuild, it's going to be a retool, whatever you want to call it. What is this season like? What has this meant for Will Hardy in how he's been able to develop? And what do you think the best thing that he's been able to develop this year has been as a first-year head coach?
When I saw him and met him early on, the first thing that struck me is that he was an English major. And so my first thought was, okay, this guy can write, and he's smart. And then the next thing I learned is that before he got the gig in San Antonio, he was like 2 days from taking a job to go write speeches for congressmen in Washington and politicians. And that was his only job he had coming out of college. And it's been well documented, the story that, you know, somebody took an interest in him and made a call to Popovich and said, you ought to take a look at this kid. And he goes and he flies in, interview, he gets the gig, and, you know, whatever, 10, 12 years later, he's here with the Jazz. But from that and from my interaction with him, I learned early on he's just a great communicator. And he said things that he learned in Boston. Like, he said things that the typical young new coach wouldn't say. He goes, I'm going to be very cautious that my voice doesn't become overused to the players. He said, I'm going to find the right leader on this team, be it Mike Conley or Jordan Clarkson. I'm going to have them sometimes deliver the message because I never want to wear out my voice. And so he learned that in Boston. He wasn't the head guy, but, you know, Ime Udoka's the head guy. But Ime would pull Al Horford aside and said, hey, you guys need a meeting. You run it. And the coaches would kind of step aside. And it's, Scott, you know it from playing professional sports, right? We hear a lot of the same words from the same guys all the time, meaning the coach. And a lot of guys after a while can drown it out. That's never happened with this team.
Yeah.
But Will's message, his energy, his ability to motivate and inspire and connect with these players has remained fresh all season long. That might be his greatest attribute.
Yeah, I've been super impressed with him.
If he can continue to do that, wow.
And you listen to him in his press conferences and how he very eloquently and very detail-oriented will talk about a player and their development and the processes that they're going through and the thought processes they have as coaches about these players. You know, you heard him talk about Simone Fontecchio or Talon Horton Tucker, and just, you know, we want them to be this player. He talked about Azubuike and how, you know, very, very rarely played and how big a deal it was, you know, that he's been putting in this time. It was just, I pick up on that, and I appreciate that. I know as a former player, you definitely do. I will say, though, that Don Shula, you kind of always had to listen to his voice, and he had a way of speaking that got a point across, so you never got bored with his voice. I'm curious, though, Mike, what of this makeup of this team this year do you see moving forward? And I know people talk about, you know, Markkanen and Walker Kessler and Ochai Agbaji, but what about some of these other guys? I mean, where's Chris Dunn? Where's Talon Horton Tucker? Are these guys, are they part of the solution? Are they part of the Jazz's big time plan? Or Kelly Olynyk, you know, for that matter? I mean, do they fit in? Do they make sense, I guess?
That's a great question. As much as I might play golf with my buddy Danny Ainge in the summer and in the off season, he doesn't yet pay me to tell him what I think about, you know, personnel. He it's funny, he used to, and I lived on the West Coast and he was in Boston. He'd call me all the time and say, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about this guy? But it's just, we just have this unique relationship where we talk about everything, including basketball. But so, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's the real answer. I can give you basketball opinion, Mike Smith.
Well, I like that. I yeah, see. That's let's go there.
That's, yeah, that's what enough. We're that's what we're paying you for, right? I mean, come on,
the big bucks.
Right.
You know how I feel about Walker because I saw it early. I saw his mobility. I saw his personality. I saw his drive. I saw the soft hands. Markkanen is a surprise, I think, to everyone in the organization that he could take the leap from 15 points a game to 25 and do it with efficiency. The other guys have been like, let's call them latter-day revelations or just late-season revelations. Like Ochai, when I meet him, at training camp, is talking more about his sister, who's a year or two older and a four-year starter at Texas on a Division I volleyball squad, as the best athlete in the family. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, what? Dude, you're the MVP of the Final Four and a national champion and a first-round draft pick in the NBA. And I'm not saying this, I'm thinking this. I'm like, you got to have something in there. And I think, and I don't know, but I think his sister's always been the celebrated one in the family. And so he kind of just assumes that role, takes that role. And I thought maybe he wasn't an alpha. But, Scott, you know in this league you got to be an alpha to survive. But I think he is. And I think it's just now surfacing. And I've seen plays of late, like his 27 points two nights ago, where he's making and taking shots so freely that I'm like, okay. Like, he's not only seeing things, he's capitalizing, he's recognizing, he's unafraid, he's fearless. And That's how you got to be in this league. You can't play not to lose or not to make a mistake. You got to play to win and play to make a difference. So that's kind of how I feel about him. Yeah. I think he's a future piece. I think Talen could be. I think Chris Dunn is. And, you know, whether or not he's your starting point guard on a championship team, I'm not sure. But if Chris Dunn is your backup point guard, like, say, your sixth or seventh best player on an NBA team, remember, he was the fifth pick in the draft 7 years ago.
Yeah.
You got a pretty good team. And so I think of things that way. Kelly's a piece to the puzzle. You know, I don't view Kelly as ever being an all-star. Kelly would join you on this same call and say, yeah, I'll probably never be an all-star in the NBA. I'm 31, you know, but I'm different enough that I can help a team win. And that's exactly what he is. So I think some of these other guys you're thinking of and looking at, it all depends what other pieces come and who they draft. And then it'll all kind of make sense, right? Like, give Danny some credit. All the picks he had in Boston, he didn't get them all right. And I would say this to his face, right? Like, he didn't knock home runs with all of them. But, like, Marcus Smart is a surefire double. Let's call him a Pete Rose, right? Or a Tris Speaker. They led the majors in doubles. But then you got Jaylen Brown. He's a surefire triple. He's a Sam Crawford. Sam Crawford had the most triples in Major League Baseball history. Second was the great Ty Cobb.
Wow.
And then, of course, you draft a Jason Tatum, and Jason Tatum's a home run. So out of, let's say, I don't know, 12, let's just say 12 decent first-round picks, he got three of them really right. And three of them really right with some other astute moves like re-signing an Al Horford, trading for a Derek White. They're in the finals last year. They should have won it.
Mike, I'm a Seattle guy. I'm a Seattle guy, so I'm trying to figure out who the Ichiro on this team is. You know, I'm like the
singles,
just singles. All singles, just a slap other way single.
Yeah.
Chris Dunn's kind of maybe that player.
Yeah.
In Scott's metaphor of, you know, the world of the markets and trading options daily, if we could all hit singles daily like Ichiro, we'd be happy.
Mike Smith, you can hear him during pregame almost every home game and away game with the guys Tim and Jake as they jam. That very first segment is always my favorite because Mike gets in there and just they don't even. Sometimes you guys don't even get to the game. It's like I got some life stuff to talk about. That's why it's great. So Mike, we love having you on the show. I love getting the breakdown, the intellectual breakdown we need on this show from time to time, and you bring that. So thanks for doing that for us, and we'll chat with you again, man.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me on.
There you go.
Be good.
Oh, Mike Smith.
Yeah, we are certainly not intellectual.
No. That's why you got to bring Mike on.
We need intellectual.
And when he said, I mean, listen, I.
I mean, we're just lectual. You know, we're just. I don't know what that means.
You're anti-lectual.
Anti-lectual?
Yeah. It's like the opposite. You're like, it's no, like, no, don't bring that in here.
It's like anti-pasta.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anti-lectual.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.